Hello, I'm Joey Schlechter, and welcome to the Azure Conference. I'm here to talk today about going from co-located servers to Windows Azure websites in 3 days. A little bit about me. I am the senior lead architect at Nucleus. Basically, what Nucleus does is allows people to sell their stuff online. Okay, so for example, boat dealerships, RV dealerships, that type of thing. It allows them to post it on Facebook, post it on Craigslist, eBay, Twitter. We're gonna have Pinterest, Google Plus, that type of thing. So we allow those retailers to, kind of put up their listings and sell it online. And it'll allow us to reduce the costs for the company as well as using Azure in the cloud as a backbone. Okay, so let's dive right in. Okay. So that's our talk from co-located servers to Windows Azure websites in 3 days. Once again, Joey Schlechter. My Twitter handle is @SonofJor-El. Yes, that's Superman. Let's talk a little bit about the Windows Azure Global Bootcamp. All right, it's April 27th. Over 60 community-led Windows Azure training events worldwide. Okay, and you can see the URL right there, so you've got all information on that. Now let's talk a little bit about Windows Azure in general. Right now, you can get a 90-day free trial. The links are right there. If you're a BizSpark member or an MSDN subscriber, you have a ton of free Azure that they give you. We have just a plethora of options given to us via mobile, that type of thing. So, all right. The alternate title, kind of a Dr. Strangelove, reference, is How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Windows Azure Websites. Basically, when tasked with our stuff, we just wanted to move to Windows Azure and have websites there as our backbone. So let's just go over the agenda. We're going to talk about co-location and the infinite sadness. How co-location, it is slowly going away. Basically, the cloud allows you to make better decisions and scale faster. All right, we'll go over why we love Windows Azure websites. Exactly what Windows Azure websites allow you to do. Okay, we'll deploy from TFS and Git. One is an MVC site, one is a Node website. So we'll integrate table and blob storage with your website. We'll allow you to easily scale, without having to worry about data solutions. And then scaling your website. Say that you have just one instance, we're going to bump it up to three or four, if your app goes viral or if you have too much traffic. All right. And then we'll review what we talked about, We'll talk about our feelings, all that stuff. So, okay. Co-location. So the issue there is, there's a lot of good involved in it, You have on-site security, you have people there that basically secure the site, and you have a better network than your local network because you've got firewalls and such. But connectivity and power, we've got that. So you've got, a stronger connection, and UPS and power is greater there. Okay, so you own the hardware and the software. It's not. You don't have to worry about changing platforms. You just want to go and do it. The bad, well, there's limited access, okay? So sometimes there's guys that limit your time frame from 8 to 5 or something like that. So if your outage goes on at night, guess what? You're kind of out of luck on that front. Upgrades, patches, and hot fixes are a pain, okay? So if you're running, Windows, sometimes the auto upgrade process, kind of takes off for you. For us, I would say a few months ago, we had an instance where SQL Server just updated, did some hot fixes and patches and updated itself automatically. Well, that took our SQL Server down. Well, that was our backbone. So 3 or 4 days later, we got it back up, but that's a serious limitation of that. And scalability. You can't throw hardware at this, if you do, it costs a ton of money. Plus the ability to scale and it just isn't there, you know? So, and the big problem is you own the hardware and software. Look, you have to manage this yourself. You know, there's no magic bean for upgrading your software. You're going to have to pay for new licenses, that type of thing. So, all right, how did this affect us? Our co-located dilemma was, we knew that our platform was slow and couldn't support the growth we expected. All right, we knew that we were going to have Facebook users, Craigslist users, all the different, you know, avenues that people connect to us. We knew we needed to move the platform to a cloud in a timely manner. Basically, we knew we needed to move away from Colo, but we didn't know what we were going to do. Azure's there. There's other, you know, cloud platform providers. We decided on Azure. We moved our core platform to Windows Azure, and we decided to experiment with Windows Azure websites for some of the platform features. Like I said, you know, we've got Craigslist, we've got, you know, Facebook, Twitter, that type of thing. So, you know, for our showcase Facebook app, which is basically, we'll go over it in a bit, we use Node to allow us to do the showcase Facebook app. You know, we decided to go with this because it has, you know, plethora of options, you know, as far as, you know, the Azure SDK and everything like that. Okay, and so why do we love Windows Azure websites? Okay, it allows you to build better software faster. You can create a website and deploy quickly. All right, the language options, .NET, PHP, Node.js, there's also some other ones that are going to come out pretty soon that I've heard through the pipeline. You've got, you know, your source control options, Git, TFS. There's a plethora of free and paid web apps available here. All right, you've got a ton of options from blogs, CMS, all that stuff that are out there. And I'll show you that when we get to that in a minute. There's a free option which allows you to prototype really quickly, shared and dedicated. That's if you want to have custom domains, all that stuff. So, and you've got the Windows Azure backbone, you know. Any type of issues that you may have, it's all there. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and try and deploy a Windows Azure website with MVC and TFS. All right, so we're going to swap over here to Windows. What we've got here is our stock kind of MVC website. All right, I've adjusted it a little bit to be more Windows Azure-y. All right, so it's all ready. We'll add some code here. And so I'm just going to change a few things and I'm going to check this in, okay? And so we've got a few projects here that are in TFS, one of which I've gone ahead and created. It's called Demo Azure Conference, okay? So just a quick side note, the TFS in the cloud is awesome. As you can see, right now it's free for up to 5 users. It really does allow us to develop quite quickly. So here's our current kind of Azure websites. As you can see, we use it quite a bit. For this demo, what I'll do is I'll create a simple website. Okay, as I talked about before, look, you can see all the different options. Don't worry about this kind of thing here. You can see all the different options that are out here. You know, you can choose, they have a bunch of starter templates, you know, HTML, you know, empty node sites. I mean, some stuff that I don't even know about. Some of which are free, some of which you have to pay for. But for this example, we're just going to go simple, create a simple website, and then I'm going to show you how to hook that up to TFS. Okay, so it's created. All right, let's go ahead and connect that up to source control. As you can see here, it's out there. The dashboard gives you a plethora of, you know, statistics and everything like that. So we're going to set it up, and so we're going to say, as you can see here, it has a ton of different options here. GitHub, Dropbox, CodePlex. We're going to go TFS on this one. Okay. I have authorized this plenty of times. but we're going to go ahead and do it again. And it's going to say, yes. Okay, and it'll retrieve all the different repositories. And what do you know? It's got our first one up there, our demo Azure conference, and it's going to pull that stuff from there. It's got one deployment, I think, when I was setting that up. So let's go over and check something in right quick, and then it'll trigger the deployment, and then we'll go from there. So let's go ahead and change this over here. We're going to check this in and say, adding Azure conference hashtag to index page. Go ahead and check that in. For those of you, if you can't see that, trust me, it's there. For those of you, if you can't see that, trust me, it's there. Okay, so it's checked in. Now if we swap back over, give it a second, and it's going to come up and start deploying. Give it a bump here. You can also check on the build status inside Visual Studio. And it gives you kind of a build log that it's going out there and doing. I'm going to go to the Manage website. We'll create another website right quick. Same process, okay? So we're going to just call this okay, and while that's creating, we're going to wait a few seconds. Okay, perfect. All right. We're going to choose local Git repository here. It will set up the Git repository, and then you can also do it here. Okay. So, as you can see here, what it does is it allows you to, basically set up a local Git on your machine and then push it up there, and it'll do all your magic up there. So, let's go ahead, and I've already got a website set up wonderfully. So, what I'll do here is go ahead and say git add dot. I have to init it. Git init. Okay, so it's added. I've got a bunch of files in there, and we'll walk through that further as we go on. Okay, but if we go over here, we're going to grab this so that we can add the remote in. Okay. All right. So there you go. And then we're going to say git, the magical line here is git push. And it asks for a stock password there. And you'll see the deployment here is much, much faster. And basically with this, I basically had a stock kind of express site. I put Bootstrap 3 in there because I like it. Doesn't have much function when it comes to this, but I just like the layout and the clean design. But we'll walk through some of the more complexities after this finishes. Okay, so it's finished. Let's go take a look and make sure it all worked and everything like that. So, all right, so if we go to the dashboard, it'll give us a URL that we can go to. And more than likely, there you go. So, kind of a stock website, nothing fancy about this one right here. All right. there's no magic there. All right, but why don't we go back and take a look at the innards of it right quick. All right, so we're using the Jade View engine. Nothing fancy there. It's listening, spitting back our index view, you know, with the title of Azure Conference. I don't need to get too in-depth with Node or anything like that, but, you know, what do we do? What do we do to further this? How do we get some data in there and everything like that? So we're going to do from there. So we got the hello world done, and now we're going to access data with table and blob storage with our Facebook app. So, you know, the Facebook app, all it does really is it lives in a tab app. The tab app makes a callback, does our magical sign request, and tells us who that person is or who that tab owner belongs to, and then we are going to display their listings based upon that. Luckily for you, I have hard-coded some stuff for that right now. So we'll go back to that, and we'll go to our app.js. I'll grab some of my magical code here, and what this is doing is we're not unlike a, you know, query string or an MVC, you know, action. So what it's allowing us to do is, you know, pass in that ID and then return the listings. It's a bit more complicated if I were to show you the actual sign request, but this does the trick. So why don't we go ahead and save that, and then we're going to add some more code here. Make sure we've got the listing. Okay, and so what this is doing is telling it, hey, go ahead and use this listing out here. Use this get listings, okay, which is your parameter right there. So we'll make sure this is all good. Okay, and some of the stuff here. Okay, so this uses the storage SDK for Node. And what it's doing right here is it's going and doing a table query and getting the row key for that page ID and returning it back. All right. I'm using Step, which is kind of a synchronous library. It allows you to do some synchronous calls and then, as you can see, pass along the, you know, errors and or values that result from your calls. You know, a lot of the examples on the Node SDK website in Azure, it basically uses async. It's another kind of alternative which I actually do use on certain things. There's a, you know, a proper gun for every job, and in this case I like Step. For some of the other stuff, which I'll show you later, I do use that asynchronous. Okay, so let's just see this work. We made some changes. We added that in there. So let's go ahead and see how easy it is to deploy. So we're going to add those changes in. This. Let's see. I did it again. Let's do that and take that off. Okay, now our magical words again. Our magical line of code is git push Azure master. And as you can see here, while that's deploying, there's not a lot of code here. You know, it's not, you've got data out there and you're just pulling it back. A quick note on nconf, basically you can set your app settings inside your websites here. This is actually a good tip to have. Let me see here. Let's see where it is. Here we go. So you can set your app settings in here, okay, which nconf will then use. It'll either use, in this case, I've got a local JSON file which has my configuration settings, or it'll choose the app settings first, and then if it cannot find them, it'll go forth and use your config JSON. Okay, so in my listings.js, basically what I'm telling it is saying, hey, use the environment or the file, and then go ahead and get those. So it stores those in settings, not unlike a if you're familiar with MVC, you know, your transforms, you know, you've got a, you know, debug or release, that type of thing. And what it allows you to do is then have local settings versus those production settings. In this case, I just, you know, for demo purposes, I just have them out there. But goes through, creates the account, all that jazz, and then does the query, returns the data. So let's see if that thing has finished. Okay, and it has. Okay, so let's see the magic happen. All right, so we're going to, the actual route, and I've got the actual raw ID further down here, and that's the page ID that it's going to be coming from. And if this were in Facebook, this would not be seen, okay? And I'll show you that in a minute once we get to that. And we just gotta have this warm up. Okay, there you go. So it's got listings, it's got some data. It's magical. It's, what is this sorcery? And it, you know, there's a detail page and everything like that, and I'll show you that in a second. But clearly you can see that that was really fast. I mean, the initial buildup, you know, compilation of the site took a second, but this is really fast, really quick. So let's go back here. Take a peek at what it was doing. Okay, so you know, it does the data, it gets listings, gets the listings for the account. Okay, so it pulled back based on that ID that I gave it. It pulled back, you know, the account ID, in essence. Okay, returned it to get listings for account ID, which is up here, and I hard coded this. I use request. You don't have to. You can go directly against the API. There is a blob storage API that you can use, but I just hard-coded it. And then I return it back and I sort by price. Okay, that's some of the magic in async. But basically, all this is doing is going and getting data. I'll show you this right here. If I were to show you this in... This is all this is JSON data, okay? And how do I get that? How did I make that? Part of your you know, Azure subscription, you can get some mobile services. Let me find it real quick. And I have some update listings that goes out there as a cron job and just runs every, you know, 30 minutes, okay? So for each person, each account that we have, it runs out there and runs those account jobs and saves them to the blob. It's quite magical on that front. Okay, now on our Facebook app. Okay, so this is kind of the real live one that I've got right now. This real live one on the detail page, it goes and gets the detail, and let me pull that up for you guys so you can see that. It's got some, you know, you click on the phone, it's doing a callback, it's doing a post back to itself, you know, and then storing that data in the blob. It's actually quite impressive. Okay, so if we go back to this, we can see right here. So if I'm doing that, it's displaying the phone number, and we track that as an analytic, and then clicking for driving directions. If you ever wanted to go to, so, you know, right now we're in, you know, Redmond, Washington. Boom, there we go. So we're storing that information, some of the magic here, you know, as we go on, you know, that type of thing. We can see all that different stuff. The magic is, if we go to Brookside, okay, the showcase, boom, that's very fast, okay? It's returning that data very quickly, coming back very fast. All right, scaling, let's talk about scaling. So let's say this app does go viral, all right? It magically you get it out there, or let's say one listing goes viral and you get a ton of traffic for it. Say it's a boat that's, you know, similar to this, that's, you know, a really good deal. You share it, it's on Craigslist, you're getting thousands of hits, or hundreds of thousands of hits. Because in a prior life, basically, I was, you know, working on promotions, and somebody, you know, a major brand would deliver coupons via the web, and they would share it on Facebook, and then we would have this viral access. So if we go back to websites here and say that we want to scale this one, okay, and actually I'll just do the showcase one because it's a little easier. Scaling is a snap, okay. Look, you know, hey, we're 2, 3, 4. Let's go ahead and save that. So what it's doing right now is going out there and creating, you know, 3 other instances for you. And I believe it's done. Yeah. So that's your scaling. You know, there's no real, you know, issue there. There's some programmatic features that you may have. But for the most part, there's no complexities here. You just click the slider. Okay, I'm going to bump that back down. Scaling becomes a non-factor anymore. You know, you don't really have to worry about it. It's instead of throwing servers at it and people at the problem, now you can just have a slider. So it becomes a much more viable option. Okay, and how did Windows Azure help us? Okay, so a majority of the issue wasn't necessarily cost, but it turned out to be that way. But it was the ability to prototype and deploy quickly. Basically, a lot of the issue became, you know, features change so much. You know, we can't keep up with Facebook, Craigslist, eBay if we're having to worry about, you know, some of the infrastructure situations that are going on. All these things kind of build up on you. With Facebook and Craigslist changing so much, a lot of what we do is deploying hotfixes. Well, if it takes a long time to deploy, well, we're going to be out of luck and we're going to lose business because customers are going to cancel their accounts and so on. What this the whole core of, you know, this session is we had decided to build the app on a Friday. I worked on it over the weekend and had a demo the following Wednesday. Okay, basically, I mean, it was really working on Monday or Tuesday, but I just kind of tuned it up. It was amazing how quickly, you know, you learn based on the content that's available on the Azure documentation website. Basically, there's a plethora of documentation out there that allows you to go out there, learn very quickly, learn Node if you need to, or use .NET if you're there, PHP, whatever you want to do. Table and blob storage are easy to use and fast. You know, compared to SQL, SQL is pretty fast, but it, you know, when you have table storage is centralized, scalable, out of the box. You can make it geo-redundant. We don't, but you can make it geo-redundant, so it's available around the world. It also, you can store any object, you know, anything. So from that perspective, you have no, there's really no drawbacks to this. All right, plus it's very fast. Blob storage, we store JSON out there, images, any type of media, videos, that type of thing. Scalability has been solved for us. We don't have to worry about having people that manage our servers. We don't have to worry about, you know, bandwidth or anything like that. It's all handled for us, okay? 74% of IT costs, I just got this from Brady, 74% of IT costs are spent on infrastructure. If you could take that money that you spend on infrastructure and put it towards development and innovation, think about how much better your product will be, or, you know, new products that you could come up with. You don't have this you know, the stigma holding over you. And then, like I said, you saw that the slider in the management interface can add instances as needed. We are saving money. That's 74%. It's a really big number. You know, if you're a smaller company, 74% is a lot. Bigger companies, hey, you know, they need to save money too. We also have no more hardware and software issues. When you have such, you know, dependency on software, you can't upgrade your platform overnight. You know, with Azure, you can. You can change languages. You can change your, you know, if you wanted to use MongoHQ, go for it. If you wanted to use SQL, go for it. If you wanted to use table storage and blob storage like we do, that's what you want. Okay. We can review real quick. Moving from co-located to Azure basically allowed us to develop much quicker. Some of the drawbacks from switching from co-location, it made it much easier for us to switch to Azure because we had many choices for languages. You know, there's many options out there if you want to go with, you know, those languages that you have. We were a completely .NET shop, 100% web forms. I started there and said, hey, you know, let's just change this up a little bit. We don't necessarily have to go with web forms all the time. So we switched it over. We made it so that we could use Node. We could use, you know, Python if we wanted to, PHP. And it allowed us to, you know, develop in a different fashion. Emerging technologies will, you know, allow us to be more innovative. We can catch up to the Facebook and Craigslist issues that may be there that pop up on a weekly basis. You know, we use extensive Open Graph with Facebook, and so that's always changing, you know. That's where, you know, having this option to, you know, use multiple languages and multiple data solutions allows us to do some magic there. And most of all, I would say that it's a much cheaper solution. You know, you can tune out the whole management infrastructure and allow yourself to innovate. To wrap up, basically, Azure is a great solution. It saves you money. And I hope everybody enjoyed the talk. Look out for the Azure conference and the global Windows Azure boot camps on April 27th. Thank you. I'm Joey Schluchter, signing off.